This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, what a first hour.
Oh, sure.
Love it.
I saw this tweet, Michael.
Tell me.
That, you know, Madeline Burke from MSG says that Ojulari is questionable for Saturday's divisional matchup game with the Eagles. The only player with designated status for the Giants' final injury report.
So he got his calf is hurt, right?
Yes.
Or shin, something like that.
So he's the only one. That's the good news, but, you know, that could be a problem. But it's only Thursday, so questionable can still possibly be probable by the time we get to Saturday, but that's the only one, so they do have an injury.
Peter, I just saw you take a slug of diet soda.
I'm a big fan.
And you got to stop. You get into a marriage again. You have a big future ahead of you. Mm-hmm. All my Steve doctors say you can't drink diet soda. It's not good for you. So I just drink water now. Donna hasn't had soda in years.
No, I have not had a sip of soda since 2012, and I don't miss it at all. I don't like the carbonates. Plenty of great things to drink. Soda, it's poison. Stop it. Stop yourself.
Don had an old fashioned.
You have a family
night,
coming.
Though.
No, come on.
Listen,
Don had an old fashioned last night, though.
Sure did.
The bartender said, "I said, can you make an old fashioned? Not every place makes an old fashioned." And he's like, "I don't only will make you an old fashioned. It'll be the best old fashioned you ever had." And it was.
Wow, best ever.
Delicious. It was delicious.
You loved it, didn't you?
I've had periods. I've had multi-year periods where I didn't drink soda, and now I have been again recently. Like, I hear you. My parents have literally been doing nothing but downing diet soda nonstop for the last 30 years, and they're old and doing well as can be.
There's also that one guy who's like 94 years old that smoked like 3 packs of Camels.
I don't know that I believe. I'm just being honest. I do not believe that diet soda is an apt comparison with cigarettes.
One of the Steves told me that it is really, really bad for you.
In every way
that you can think.
In every way.
Yeah, that you can really. Yeah. First of all, he said you don't lose that much weight, he said, because there's so much sodium in it.
Well, that part's true.
I how about this, Michael? Again, I'm no doctor.
No,
I did
never
not
were.
Stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I bet you because what's the normal size? Like a 12-ounce, right?
Yeah.
If you had one cigarette a day and one diet soda a day, I bet you the diet soda is worse.
What I would like you to do, Peter,
yeah,
go outside and that new Mercedes-Benz that you got from MB White Plains.
Great car.
And pour the entire Diet Coke on the hood and see what it does to the paint.
It's such a great point. Thank you, right.
And then decide what it's going to be doing to your innards.
Michael, hold on. Don.
Be better.
Don, here's what I need you to do. I need you to pipe down. Because what I'm going to say next, you're going to agree with 1,000%. And hopefully you won't be a typical K-show lapdog like me and you tend to be. Michael is telling us what he's saying about diet soda. And I could accept it from someone who ate and drank healthy. Don, have you seen the pile of chemical bars the man's eating every day?
Yes or no? But here's the thing. You seem to be more in tune with like diet than Michael, even though Michael does diet. I think from consuming liquid and food, you're more conscious of what you put in your body than Michael.
I that's probably true.
And for somebody like you, it seems odd that you would decide to drink diet soda.
Okay.
Now, if you didn't care, if you were like one of those yo-yos who gets like 3 Big Macs and thinks it's okay that he's having 3 Big Macs because he's having a diet soda, well, then that's somebody that you don't really care what they think. But you do care.
And
so
I'm
going to
tell you, Peter, okay?
Peter,
I love Diet Pepsi and Diet Coke. Love it. I miss it tremendously. But I need to live. I got things to do.
But I just real quick, how do you justify I'm going to cut out the soda because I want to live, but I'm going to make my entire diet during the week consist of just eating these bars as my every meal all day long?
Because there's no evidence that these bars are bad for you. There's evidence that diet soda is bad for you.
I dare you to try to read. Do you have the bars with you now?
I've got some of them.
I dare you to try to read the ingredients of what you're eating.
I dare to keep an audience while he's doing it.
No, I'm not going to do it. The ingredients on my Quest of Frosted Cookie birthday cake cookies, it says pure delight.
Oh, yeah. So wait, so it tastes like birthday cake cookies?
Yeah.
But is somehow low in fat and calories? Yeah, I'm sure it's very healthy. Okay. I'll play along.
Well, why don't you play along? It's time for the Gangrene Report, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. And before we get into it, I want to congratulate Michael Genovese from Lindenhurst. His Superbox Bonanza got him a Bartesian cocktail maker. Those are great. They'll make you an old-fashioned, Don.
But
I mean,
would?
Not with the personality of the guy in the Islanders owner suite, but they will make you a top-flight any drink you want. So congratulations to Michael.
Peter has contributed tremendously to my life. He's made me a better, more well-rounded person and professional.
Thank you. Okay.
The greatest thing he ever did was introducing me to an old-fashioned. He knew it. He knew I'd love it. I'm all in.
It's your only drink now.
It's my only drink.
All right, so I don't know how many of you out there have seen the story in The Athletic, which kind of gives you the inside scoop on what happened the Jets' final half of the season, even a little bit before that. I guess the money quote is Elijah Moore to LaFleur said something, I hate to use it, it's so pejorative. You stink, but a stronger term.
Right.
You bleeping stink. And it was smoothed over, I guess, by Robert Saleh. And they said they interviewed dozens of people for the story. It's a very in-depth story, and it shows you some of the dysfunction and why the people didn't like LaFleur. And, you know, Wilson thought that LaFleur's stuff was a little bit too complicated, and LaFleur pushed back and said, he didn't say this publicly, it didn't seem complicated for White or Josh Johnson or Joe Flacco. So he was fighting back. But the one thing that stood out to me about the story, Don, I don't know how deep you got into it, it makes Robert Saleh out to be Mother Teresa of NFL coaches, how he just tamped down everything. He was the guy who made it all hold together when it was all splintering apart. And you know what that told me? And I could be dead wrong.
I'm with you.
He might have been the source for the story.
I wasn't thinking that. We weren't on the same page for that.
You
I was
weren't
thinking something
that.
Else, Mike. I was way more devious. I was
tell me
I was way more like or provocative, I guess, in my take from it. Because it's very believable to me because I could see Saleh doing that.
What, leaking stuff to the media?
No, not leaking. No, being Mother Teresa and trying to keep everything like together. But yet he let them wear the Mike Evan White shirts and let that get out of hand. Like it doesn't seem like it jibes with the kind of guy he is. Like, doesn't he seem like the kind of guy that would try to make sure everybody gets along and let's not get into it, that he wouldn't – let's not embarrass Zach here, guys. Let's get behind Mike White, but let's do it in a nice way. So isn't it kind of different, Michael? Like, it just seems very opposite end of what we think Robert Saleh is, which made me think when I was reading this story that maybe Robert Saleh wasn't really didn't care what Zach Wilson thought. And maybe that's why he decided to not be Mother Teresa there, but was Mother Teresa in other areas. That's what I was thinking.
It's just that, you know, having been a writer before I became a broadcaster, I mean, your inclination as you're writing is if somebody's leaking you a story and they want to say anonymous, you got to mention that person in the story so that people don't think that that's the person that's giving you it. But while you're mentioning that said person in the story, you're also making that said person seem really, really great. Because, you're throwing them a little bit of an onion ring for helping you out. So Saleh looks like an absolute saint in the story in The Athletic. I'm not saying, I think Zach Rosenblatt wrote it.
Well,
I'm not saying that Zach Rosenblatt, he said it was dozens of people that he spoke to.
Right.
But there was such a tinge of, boy, Robert Saleh is the bee's knees. It's kind of strange if he's not one of the sources.
But here's because I'm not a journalist like you were, writing stories and trying to get that kind of information. So I'll ask you as the expert in this, that if I want to pump Don LaGreca up in a story that Michael Kay's writing.
Right.
Wouldn't wouldn't it make more sense to have somebody else talk me up than have me talk me up? Like, as a journalist, when you're writing the story, wouldn't you be like, this is hogwash, man? The source is the guy that benefits from it. So this seems fugazi to me. Right? This doesn't seem genuine, where if you hear it from somebody else, you'd be like, man, Robert Saleh must be a really good guy, because I talked to a few people, including one. It was really my general source who really talked up Saleh. If Saleh's the guy talking himself up, then to me that loses the whole credibility of the story from a journalistic perspective. Am I wrong on that?
But it for someone who's maybe not in the business, they're not putting it together that Saleh was the source. So it does make him look
good.
No,
but I'm talking about you as the guy that's receiving the information.
Right.
As you're writing the story and Saleh's coming out looking really good in the story, do you look at yourself and go, well, yeah, of course he did, because he's the guy that gave me the information. So it doesn't seem as genuine, the information that I'm getting, because the guy that's...
And you never thought that when I said that. You didn't think, well, Saleh's probably the source. So it didn't come off that way to you. So
no,
for 95% of the people in the country that read it, they'll go, they don't even think that Saleh is a leak.
Yeah.
You know, this is a very inside baseball way of thinking.
Yeah, yes. You're right. That's
but,
why
but,
I don't
but,
think
what I'm saying, Peter, is
negatively.
Just from the journalist writing it going, man, I don't know how credible this story is, because the guy that's coming out on top of this whole thing is the guy that fed me the information. But almost you feel like you're being used here.
You are
like,
being used.
Is this a genuine story, or is this just a way to be able to get out what a great guy you are?
I think it's both. But I don't think that first of all, this is just conjecture on my part.
I don't believe it, because I don't think Robert Saleh is that kind. I really don't think he's that kind of guy.
Right, but I don't think that he said to Zach Rosenblatt, I'll give you this info if you make me look like God. I think it's just, you know, quid pro quo. It's not even spoken.
My knee-jerk feeling is, and do I know Robert Saleh well? I know him as well as you and Peter do, based on the conversations we had with him, you know, 17 times during the course of the year. I don't think he would do that. I don't think he would talk to somebody and plan a story. I think he would be above that. But maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe I'm being naive. I just don't think he would do that.
I agree. My hunch is that too, but I guess you never know with these things.
No, you don't know. That's the one thing we find out too in this, Peter. It's like with some of the things that have been done, and a lot more heinous than this, that you go, wow, I didn't think they were capable of doing that. I just think he would be above, like, worrying about that stuff. He seems too cool for school to worry about, like, with the media things. But maybe, again, maybe he sold me. I don't know. Some people might think he's phony with the whole, you know, all gas, no brake and all that. I mean, I've heard that from people, that they think he's kind of phony. That I never got the sense in our conversations with him. And I think, Michael, in all the years we've been doing this, we can kind of usually sniff that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get, at least I didn't get the sense that he was that type of guy.
Now, well, whenever you rise to that level, you've got to have some maneuverability. No Gandhi is going to get to be a head coach of a team. Sorry. You got to step on some people. I'm not saying that Saleh did it in a bad way, but you are making waves every now and then. The one thing in the story that was interesting to me is to have a player, right, say what was said to LaFleur, and then he's still on the team, or he's not, like, suspended. Now, they sent him home for one game, which he got paid for, but how is that handling a player in the right way? Now, they said that LaFleur ended up hugging it out with Elijah Moore. Okay, that's all eyewash, as David Cohn would say. But imagine if we said that to one of the bosses. You'd be suspended.
But we fought with our bosses before.
But we haven't screamed, you stink.
No.
You bleeping stink.
We suck.
But there isn't the same money and the same stuff that's on the line. Like Peter, if there was a lot more stress to our job, if there was way more on the line on our job where we could get cut, where there's winning and losing is it way more pressure than it is in, like, everyday life or even close to the NFL level, don't you think some of the spats that we've gotten into could get heated like that?
Yeah,
I think so.
I think there's a lot of pressure in our job.
But this is also a physical job.
All
everything
right, so
about
more – in practice that week, Moore tells LaFleur, go and bleep yourself, and you stink. So they send him home for that night. That's when he requested a trade. They didn't trade him, but he comes back, and he excels under Mike White. Not excels, but certainly better than he was with Zach Wilson. How do you just let that go?
Because I think you have to leave a little room for those times. I bet you that happens way more often than we think. And I think we've seen, like, you remember the famous Bill Parcells screaming at Phil Simms in Indianapolis on that Monday night. Everybody remembers that, right? Sit the blank down, all that, right? And that's the captain of the team. That's Phil Simms he's talking to. But back 30 years ago, it was acceptable for a head coach to talk to a player like that.
It still is. You're yelling down.
But there's no more yelling down.
If Phil Simms yelled at Bill Parcells, he would have been benched.
But here's the thing. We've acknowledged this many times. In athletes right now are almost on the same level as coaches. They make way more money than the coaches do. They can get these coaches fired. You know, so I think there's a lot more give and take like that, where a player can act that way and get away with it, because we don't live in that militaristic type of way we did 30 years ago, where I don't think players look at it as shooting up. They look at it shooting equal, because they probably believe they're as important, that a wide receiver on a team can be as important as the offensive coordinator. In some of their eyes, maybe even more important, because their name's on the back of the jersey and they're the ones that are on television all the time. So I think in the modern athlete's mind, they don't feel like it's insubordination. It's one coworker screaming at another coworker.
Whether that's factual or not,
that's way more than it was 30 years ago.
I get it, but you can't say that a player and a coach, unless the player is Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, is a co-worker with the coach. Coach is his boss. Now, in the story,
when
it says
you start getting the coordinators, though, it could be a little bit different.
I guess it just seems odd.
I'm
to do
with
that
you
in front of your teammates. That lessens the coach's authority.
I think that I'm with you, Michael. I'm old school. There has to be a chain of command. There has to be somebody above you. There has to be some authority figure. But when you start talking about offensive coordinators and you start talking about players, now I don't think Elijah Moore is Randy Moss, but in his eyes he may feel he's very important, and he may not look at it that way. Would he talk to Robert Saleh that way? Would he talk to Joe Judge that way? But maybe to him, maybe to a player, yelling at an assistant coach is really not insubordination. It is to me, but I don't know if these players feel that way.
Now,
did Kevin Durant talk to an assistant on Brooklyn?
Yeah,
like
Durant
that? Absolutely.
Not Elijah Moore. Not T.J. Warren. Durant can. T.J. Warren can't. Yuli Watanabe can't.
Right. But you tell these players that they're not what they think they are. They all think that their blank doesn't stink, right? They all think that they're special.
Well, Elijah Moore then would be really misguided if he felt like
that. Of course he's misguided. He was complaining about not getting the ball, Michael, when they were winning. So he obviously held himself to a way different standard. Why wouldn't you shut your mouth? If you're winning games, what do you care if you got the ball? So obviously he was a me guy in that moment. So does it surprise you he'd act that way?
No, because if you keep letting your kids eat candy and all of a sudden you tell them not to eat candy, they're going to say, why not? You've been letting me eat candy. They let them guy curse out a coach. Final thing from the story, multiple people in the organization pushed back on the narrative that Woody Johnson forced Saleh to fire LaFleur, though Saleh likely did feel pressure from above to make changes. For weeks, Saleh defended LaFleur, insisting publicly and privately that the problems were not one person's fault. But he ended up letting them go anyway, although he's saying he got offers other places.
Because I heard this too, Michael, that Woody Johnson didn't demand, he suggested. When an owner and a boss suggests something, it's a demand.
Or do you want to risk everything to disobey it?
Right. So they could sit there semantically and say, "Well, listen, he never told me to fire LaFleur. He might have suggested." Well, come on, if he suggested it, then you're going to do it, especially if the next thing he's suggesting is maybe I need another head coach.
Right.
Yeah, and especially if your season was garbage.
That's a gangrene report brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. If you're a fan of connecting the dots, an offensive coordinator was let go in football today that might interest the Jets, because it might interest a player that they might have interest in. One quick baseball note. Aroldis Chapman, who made $18 million with the Yankees in 2022.
He gone.
Has signed a one-year $3.75 million contract with the Kansas City Royals.
Ooh.
Now, and also there's performance bonuses. I will tell you this. The Royals get him, hoping he has a good season, then they trade him to a contender. And Yankee fans are so glad he's gone. They never won anything with him. He gave up so many big home runs that ended their season. And you could argue with everybody in charge about you'll never win with him. And they publicly, even privately, they all disagreed. But then he showed his true self when he didn't even show up workout before the first playoff series. But he's going to pitch really well for the Royals. Mm-hmm. No pressure. He's still got pretty decent stuff. It's not New York or anything like that or any of that. He'll do fine, and the Royals will end up recouping some of that recouping some of the money that they get or that they have to pay him when they get a prospect back right at the trade deadline. But the Yankees couldn't bring him back. He was just not for this place and not for this time.
But can you imagine? I thought you were going here. Let's say he's got like something crazy, like 30 saves at the deadline, and the Yankees need a closer. Will we get phone calls from people saying they should get Chapman? We need a closer.
Oh, we'll get those phone calls. But I can't see the Yankees ever dipping their toe in that
pool
again.
No, it didn't work out.
Huh?
A Yankee hot stove tonight, following our show on Yes at 6:30. That's why
I got a DVR'd.
Real good for you. You never know what Jack Curry's going to say. What he's going to break.
What time are you watching that, Don?
Probably when he gets home from the Ranger game.
No, I'm going to go to bed. If the Quincy tomorrow morning is one I've seen, I'll watch it then.
All right. And what if it's not?
We'll never watch it.
I don't know.
You got to watch Quincy.
Flush it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's hit somebody in their face as hard as we possibly can. Did you see the guy who got smacked in the face and his whole side of his face blew up? Oh, somebody is going to die from
this. I was making an face dead.
No, that should be the theme song for the league, as I'll smack your face dead. Now, you guys want to know an interesting wrinkle to this whole thing?
Tell me.
I'm not kidding. This is going to sound crazy, but we have listeners out there who can verify what I'm saying. Ebro essentially have invented this sport.
How so?
20 years ago, there was something called Smackfest at Hot 97.
Ebros.
And it was a way to win tickets. You can look it up. You go on YouTube and you look up Hot 97 Smackfest. You'll see. And it was, you know, a crazy sort of morning show bit that they did. And they would bring up one person, you know, from Brooklyn, one person from the Bronx, and they would do it. And Ebro's in the middle as the referee. It's literally, guys, I'm not kidding. And this isn't the first time it's happened. There have been different iterations of it over the last few years. But I promise you, That's where it started, for better or for worse. They eventually had to stop it because the New York Gaming Commission was basically like, you can't do this as a competitive sport in the radio station as a contest, and they had to stop.
As a competitive sport, it makes no sense. And somebody, you mark my words, whether I'm here to say I was right or not, somebody's going to get killed. Somebody's going to get killed. I mean, these big burly, I saw one with two women.
Yeah.
Knocked a woman down. Knocked her out. I mean, what are we doing here?
I don't know.
It's worse than MMA.
Well, you know, it's being run by Dana White, so.
No. I'll leave it there.
Yeah, probably want to.
All right, so Greg Roman has parted ways with the Ravens as their offensive coordinator.
Now, that's right.
We know how well it worked out for the Giants after Wink Martindale parted ways with the Ravens. And he's been great as the Giants defensive coordinator. So Roman, is that somebody the Jets look into? And does that help them, in fact, maybe get Lamar Jackson? But here's the wrinkle. John Harbaugh, the coach of the Ravens, said that Lamar is going to be consulted on the offensive coordinator. So it sounds like they have no intention of trading this guy.
No. And I was listening to Bart today of Bart and Hahn, and he said there's no way the Ravens give up on him. He said he's a top 10 Raven of all time. And he's the greatest quarterback they've ever had.
Yes,
now, it's not
for sure.
Ton. The Super Bowl winners Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco. He said, like,
hey,
to them.
That's Joe Flacco.
You know, so.
Tyrus quarterback.
He doesn't think that they would. Now, they obviously, are they going to give the exclusive franchise tag, which would be over $40 million? Will they work something out? But Bart was saying they'd be nuts to let him go. So I'm not 100% sold. And then when you heard Harbaugh say that he's going to be the one to, you know, or have a say on who's going to be the offensive coordinator, I'm not 100% sold he's going to be available.
Well, if he's coming back to them, I'm sorry. They got to sign this guy to a long-term deal where a lot of people were questioning whether he was hurt or not, or hurt enough not to play. I'm not questioning. I never question injuries. I think it's a bad road to go down. But if you want this guy to suck it up and play through pain, you better give him a guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
Can't be the year-to-year stuff. He's playing year-to-year, right? So his knee was unstable. We can at least admit that. Why would he go out there and play in a playoff game? Then his whole bag is completely compromised.
Yeah, it was an impossible spot once they got there, because if without the guaranteed money, the way he plays, it's a hopeless situation.
All right, let's go to Joe in New York. Joe.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey, Joe.
You guys are talking about Lamar Jackson now, how you think he's probably not going to make his way to New York. But let's say the Jets got Lamar, or they get Derek Carr or Jimmy G. What happens to their chances as possibly being a Super Bowl contender?
You know, I'll tell you what, Joe. If they get a good quarterback with the defense that they have, and if you assume that Breece Hall is going to come back at 100% and return to the player that he was when at the beginning of the year, they got a chance. If they get a legitimate big-time quarterback, wouldn't you guys agree that they have a chance?
What means legitimate big-time quarterback?
The three that he just mentioned.
Is that legitimate big-time?
Well, you don't think Lamar Jackson's a legitimate big-time quarterback? Garoppolo's taking a team to a Super Bowl.
Lamar's the one I don't think they're getting. So
Jimmy
or
Garoppolo, you got Carr. I mean, these are much better. As Rick said yesterday about Lamar, if you get Garoppolo or you get why can't I remember the other guy's name? The guy from Oakland or from the Raiders,
Derek
right?
Carr.
Are they the best quarterback the Jets have ever had? All due respect to Joe Namath, but when you look at Joe Namath's numbers,
sure,
he's a Hall of Famer for what he brought to the game in Super Bowl III, but is he the best quarterback the Jets have ever had?
But if you're talking about Super Bowl contender, is Derek Carr, Jimmy G, or Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, or Joe Burrow? You know, so
but that guy's not available.
No, but I'm saying is that to be a Super Bowl contender, you need a Super Bowl championship caliber quarterback. I don't care how good your defense is, okay? But Buffalo had a great defense last year and got shredded by Mahomes in the playoff game, right? Because it's all about scoring points in this league. So, yes, the Jets have a championship-caliber defense, although that's still kind of questionable the way the season ended. It's still it's a good top-five defense, and they've got weapons. But you need a quarterback. So if you don't have Josh Allen, if you don't have Joe Burrow, and you don't have Patrick Mahomes, are you still a Super Bowl contender? Is your defense and your weapons that good that a quarterback that's clearly a rung, if not two behind those three, enough to get you to win those games and win and go to the Super Bowl? If Derek Carr is their quarterback, do they win the division this year? They're definitely a playoff team, no question. But can you tell me definitely they beat Buffalo and win the East?
So the way you're talking then, right?
Yes.
The only two that move the needle for you is Rodgers or Brady.
Well, no, because I still think there's importance of making the playoffs. But he asked the question, does that make you a Super Bowl contender? And I don't know if immediately it does. You know, I don't know about the coach right now. I mean, I love Saleh, but is he a Super Bowl caliber coach? You need to strengthen that offensive line. They've got weapons, but I'm just answering the question from the caller.
If the Giants could get to the Super Bowl or possibly get to the Super Bowl with Daniel Jones, if you get a more than competent quarterback, and any of those three is infinitely better than what they've had over the last couple of years, and with their defense and the weapons they have on offense, yeah, I think they have a chance.
All right. Now, there's a couple of things at play here. Number one, all right, we don't know the Giants are going to the Super Bowl or even how legit the chances are they go to the Super Bowl, but they're clearly in the conversation. And the Jets with Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Lamar Jackson, they'd be in the conversation making the playoffs. They'd be like the Giants. Like, look out, this team's scary. Look at their defense. Look at their weapons. But can they get over the hump? And also, are we having this same conversation about the Giants' chances if they're in the AFC? Part of the reason that we're talking them up in the NFC is because we're really not sure who the best team is. Is it Philadelphia because they had the bye? Is it San Francisco, how hot they were at the end of the season? I don't know if we're really having a legitimate conversation of getting that deep if you've got to go through Buffalo or Kansas City or Cincinnati.
Can I throw something out there?
Go ahead.
That's come up a lot, sort of the difference between the NFC and the AFC. I know that the AFC has these teams at the top that we just think are awesome, and there are three teams that are really, really good. But, I mean, you could really compellingly argue that the two best teams in football are in the NFC and that the Super Bowl champion could be from the NFC. I don't know. I feel like we kind of sleep on the NFC. Philly was the best team for the first 10 weeks, and San Francisco has basically been the best team since.
Okay, but there's still the questions about Hurts' health, and there's still questions about whether a rookie quarterback can win a Super Bowl. All right? You don't have that concern with what you have, the experience.
No. All three
Burrow's
teams.
Burrow's gone to a Super Bowl. Yeah. Mahomes has won a Super Bowl. Buffalo has been there, been to the playoffs many times now, and it looked like they're ready to take that next step. I'm not telling you, Michael, not to get these guys. You got to get these guys. But I'm just answering the question. Are they a Super Bowl contender? I guess because once you're in the playoffs in this league, I guess you're considered a contender. But I'll ask you. Are they getting through Buffalo, Kansas City, or Cincinnati next year with Derek Carr as their quarterback?
They could, and here's the reason why. All you have to do is get through two of them, not three of them, because
now here's the other problem.
Play each other.
I think Lamar is the only
one. Here's the other problem The problem, guys, with Jackson and Garoppolo, are they going to stay healthy?
Because
that's also a major
question.
There's
no perfect situation for the Jets other than if Zach Wilson finds it. I don't think they're going to allow him to.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe.
Michael.
Joe.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Well, I'll tell you a quick story how Michael K. Show changed and ruined my life.
Oh.
Surprisingly.
Wow.
Okay?
Oh, no.
I was coming down the highway one year, and I put DirecTV on for the first time, and I saw Yes Channel. I said, okay, that's the Yankee Channel. It's great. It's great. And I see Michael Kay Show. I know Michael Kay Show from Michael Kay and John Sterling, and I put it on. So there's Michael on the record, who I know. Peter Ray didn't know. And I put it on for about an hour or two. This is pretty good stuff here. I'm watching, have a drink.
Okay, sure.
Next day, I'm flying home. Let's see Michael Kay Show again. It's pretty cool stuff.
Okay.
And these guys here with Michael and Don and Peter.
Sure.
Pretty cool stuff. I'm watching.
Okay.
So, long story short,
I
live about 30 miles away from my home, past PNC Field, Rail Riders. I find myself flying down the highway for years and years to watch Michael Kay Show with Michael, Don, and Peter. It's just fantastic. I mean, I love it. You guys are so great. I just can't say enough about you guys.
Well, how do we ruin it?
That's very nice. Long road to get there, but very nice. But, thank you very much.
Did he say ruin his life?
I thought he said he ruined his life.
Well, yeah. Because he's always rushing home to see us, I guess.
Oh.
You know, we like everybody, at least listen on the radio. You can see the pictures flickering, but
by the way, no need to rush home. I will say, I really appreciate him. We could work on his storytelling. That's for another time. But if you love the show and you're stuck in the car, don't rush to get home. Just turn on the radio. Does he know that we're on the radio?
Also, you can use the app. The free ESPN app.
Oh, he's in Pennsylvania, so you just get the ESPN New York app. It's one click.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you
really? Literally is one click. As soon as you punch it up, bang, you hear it. I used
it this
morning.
Let's go to Ross in Brooklyn. Ross.
Hey, hello.
Hey, Ross.
Yeah. Oh, this is very exciting. It's a pleasure to talk to you, gentlemen.
Thanks for calling.
I'm a high school teacher in Brooklyn, and on my commute, for most of my adult life, I would defer to National Public Radio. And then this season, I went to a couple of Jets games. We're a longtime baseball family. I went to a couple of Jets games with my adult children and their partners, and I don't know, something clicked, and then I started listening to you, and I feel like this whole new world has opened up. I love what you do, and I love the morning commute with Rothenberg. And I love it.
Thanks, so, man. Well, now did your children tell you about us?
No, I don't even remember what it was. Like, I wanted, you know, we had gone to the game. We got to see that game when Mike White was QB. When it rained like in the Bible,
right.
And we all sat there like schmucks, and it was just like one of the, we had so much fun. It was just so, you know, one of my kids, I won't say which one, on the drive back home, did throw up out the window of the car, all down the side of the car.
Wow.
And I'm getting a new car, a new used car. He's going to get this car, so he's going to get the car with the puke on it. But, you know, it's a mitzvah.
I love it. Well, thank you, Ross. And we a lot of people always say we're much more interesting than NPR.
I always hear that. And smarter.
No, we're not smarter.
No.
A lot of people love NPR.
I love
NPR. All I want to say to these people, it's five little letters. That's all I want to say. I mean, we love
NPR,
the fact
it's
that
three.
You know what the letters are, right, Peter?
No.
The first letter is an M.
M.
Second letter is an E.
E.
Third letter is a T.
Okay. Oh, yep. The next letter is an E also?
Yeah. And the fifth letter?
It's an R.
Yeah. We need you to have meters.
I mean, they can't do it.
My observation.
You should write to your local congressman and get yourself meters.
Don't think it works that way.
Because somehow all the love is just not reflected in the place that has to be reflected.
We suck. The only time I've ever heard NPR, and the only time I ever hear it, I wonder if you go through this, Michael, is out-of-town cabs. It's the only time I ever hear it. Any city I'm in, if I get on a cab, they listen to NPR.
Is that right?
Interesting.
Not New York.
New York.
So I don't know what it is.
Really?
That's all I know about NPR. It sounds like it's pretty smart.
Wait, you've never listened to it beyond hearing it in a cab?
No. No. Wow.
You're not, as Michael Kay would say, you're not covering yourself in glory right now.
Why would you say that?
Because it really is. I mean, there's some really high-quality stuff they do there that you'd enjoy. I mean, you'd learn a bit.
Like Shreddy.
I do just fine.
Right? you see this Andrew Brandt, who is quite locked in, former Packers president. He's hearing that Sean Payton seeking to be paid $20 to $25 million per season. Listen, this is going to be a little controversial. Sean Payton's a good coach. He had a Hall of Fame quarterback and won one Super Bowl. It's not exactly, I mean, I might just say I'm good. $25 million, and you have to give up a mid-first round draft pick to get him? I'm good.
Is this true? I mean, is this how legit?
Yeah, Andrew Brandt says he's hearing that it's $20 to $25 million he wants.
That would be legitimately the stupidest money I've heard ever in history, except for when they choose broadcasters for football.
Well, let's think about this for a second, though. It is excessive, right? But, you know, we're hearing Mike Tannenbaum say that Daniel Jones's agent should ask for $50 million a year, which is a major cap hit. Paying a coach is no cap hit.
I get it.
You want to
make
your team relevant. If they go to the playoffs, they went to the playoffs. He made an irrelevant franchise relevant.
But
isn't that what every franchise is trying to do? You telling me a Jet fan wouldn't want the last 15 years of Saints football?
They won a Super Bowl 13 years ago.
But he's 9-8 in the playoffs, Don. Again, he's a really good coach. But you're going to pay him $25 million?
But what's,
I mean,
what
does
money?
Bill Belichick deserve?
But if it doesn't affect the cap, what does it matter?
It's still money. You're spending money for what?
Go find a good coach to make your franchise relevant.
Go find Sean McVay. Why are you go looking for a recycled coach won one
how many
Super Bowl with
Sean
McVay? Best quarterbacks.
He's got one. I think he's overrated? Yes, I think he's overrated. He's not Bill Belichick. Okay, he's no Bill Parcells. But he's a really, really good coach. He's an offensive mind that made an irrelevant franchise relevant. So I ask again, would you want to be the Saints if you were the Jets over the last 15 years? And Woody Johnson prints money. It's no hit to the cap. Why wouldn't you do it?
I hear what you're saying, but it's
You're paying all these nobody coaches with no experience, you know, however many millions of dollars over the years, and then and you fire them before their contract's up and flush the money down the toilet. You know, how many years did you have left on Gase's contract? If Saleh gets fired, how many years are you going to have left on his? How many GMs did you pay not to GM? All the money that you've set fire to for guys that you absolutely had to have because, you know, Ron Wolf told you or Peyton Manning told you. And then you get a guy that's a known commodity. Yes, overrated, I agree, but a known commodity. And it's no hit to the cap, and you print money. Not too expensive for my blood. I'm going to keep hiring these guys nobody ever heard of and then fire them midway through their contract and flush money down the toilet.
Listen, I agree with Don in the sense that it's not our money. It doesn't affect the cap. If they can afford it, do whatever you want. But, Michael, I'm with you. I have a fundamental problem with what it says about the way you're trying to do things if you throw that stupid amount of money at a coach.
Bill Belichick deserves whatever he wants to make. If Bill Parcells was able at the age of 80, 81 to do it, he deserves $30 million a year. Sean Payton won one Super Bowl.
Okay.
So what would John Harbaugh get, Don?
So far, it's the same amount as McVay, right?
But McVay's been doing it. McVay's been coaching for 5 years.
I understand that, and we'll see 10 years from now how many championships he wins. I agree it's excessive, and I agree that he's overrated. But if it's no hit to the cap and you're a franchise like the Jets, who have been searching for a coach almost as long as you've been searching for a quarterback, and he's an offensive mind and he's highly respected, and yes, only one championship, and yes, he'd had Drew Brees. That did help. There's no question. But I don't think it's that outrageous when you kind of need that relevancy.
You know what is the relevancy, Don? The Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not the Philly Eagles, the Eagles. They've extended their Hotel California tour to include a stop at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey on Friday, April 7th, featuring the Hotel California album in its entirety with accompanying orchestra and choir, plus a full greatest hit set. Be caller number 7 right now at 888-987-ESPN, and you're going to score a pair of tickets brought to you by Live Nation. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com.
It's funny, Michael, you talk about number of Super Bowls, right? I mean, you look at the respect. Outside of Bill Belichick, how many coaches have more than one? I mean, everybody loves Andy Reid, right?
Obviously, he wouldn't get $30 million.
But he's only got one, and he's probably considered one of the best offensive minds in the game. You know, and certainly he's elevated it since leaving Philadelphia. It ended up working out for Kansas City, right? The guy that couldn't win a championship game now has a team that, you know, was able to go to a Super Bowl.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.